Come. We will take a text from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and talk about what I call living hope. Living hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll read from verse 1 to 3. I'll jump to verse 10. And then I'll also jump again to verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 1 to 3. Then I'll read verse 10, then jump again to verse 19 to 20. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, and in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain." Verse 3 says, "For I deliver to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Verse 9. "For I am the least of the apostles." No, excuse me, verse 10. I said verse 10, not 9. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Verse 19 to 20. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable." Some translations say most miserable. Verse 20, and my last verse for this morning as a text. It says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep." Can somebody say, "But now Christ is risen from the dead"? I want you to say it like it's a good news. Say, "But now Christ is risen from the dead." We have a living hope. We have a living hope. Hope is a very powerful thing. Hope is something that we all need hope. We all can't even really survive without hope. But sometimes the hope that people have is not living hope. Sometimes the hope that people have is fantasy. Sometimes even the hope that people have is a lie. Sometimes the foundation of the hope that people have, that foundation is faulty. But I have come to tell you this morning that we have a living hope. Not only do we just have hope, but our hope is alive. Our hope is living. Our hope is lively. There's one of these resurrection hymn that says, "I serve a risen Savior. He lives in the world today." Then the last part of that song says, "You ask me how I know he lives. I know he lives because he lives in my heart." Does anybody know that he lives this morning? If I have a witness, can somebody say amen? Amen. So hope is a good thing. Hope is something that all of us need. And let me tell you the truth. Don't let the devil make you think that everything will happen and finish by what has already happened. I want you to always know that you can have, if you are in Christ, there is always hope of a better tomorrow. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, "If Christ is in you, it is a manufacturer, it is a manufacturer, it is a generator of glory." It says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." So if you have Christ in you, you can always have hope. And that your hope will not be baseless, because the presence of Christ is the presence of a living hope. And so I want you to understand this morning that every man needs hope. But the question is this: what do you hope in? What are you basing your hope on? What is your hope based on? What is the foundation of your hope? Look at this scripture, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. The Bible says from verse 1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace where which we stand. And the Bible says, because we have this access, we rejoice in hope. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There is a rejoicing that needs to accompany the fact that you have hope, and this is a living hope. You can rejoice, and just before you say, well, pastor, I will rejoice if everything was good. Let's go on with how this hope works. In verse 3, the Bible says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. It is this kind of hope, this living hope, that can make you to be able to stand tall even when things are not looking good. You see, the truth of the matter is that the good news of the gospel of Jesus is not a good news that is afraid of any bad news. The good news of the gospel is a good news that can withstand bad news. In fact, it is not good because there was absence of bad news. This good news came out of bad news. You remember that if there was they were making a newscast on Friday night, if you tuned in 10 o'clock on Friday night and you were listening to the primetime news, the news would be, life is dead. The one that says, I am the way. The one that says, I am the life. The one that says, I am the truth. That one is dead. The one that says, I am the resurrection, I am the life. That one is dead. So that was bad news. It was a bad news on Friday night. But thanks be to God, it was not only Friday night that existed. Sunday morning came. And so bad news became good news. I've come this morning to tell somebody, I don't know what bad news came with you to this morning service, but there is a good news that swallows bad news. That good news swallows those bad news in the name of Jesus. Verse 3 says, he said, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. We also glory in tribulations. We can live life beyond circumstances. We can live life beyond situations. We can live life beyond what is going on. There are sometimes some people, they always try to look at life from all that is around them. But ladies and gentlemen, if you are born of God, you are from above. And he that is from above is above all. So you need to live from the status of being above, above what is going on. We can glory in tribulation. We can laugh at the devil, because had he known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He doesn't know that God is able to make all things work together. And child of God, hear that very well this morning. I'm saying it in very capital letters. God is able to make all things work together. The one that you like, it can make it work. The one that you don't like, it can make it work. The one that you would like to hide from and not accept, it can make it work. God is able to make all things work together for your good. He says, and we glory in tribulation. We can glory in tribulation if we have the living hope. Oh, we can glory in tribulation. We can live life, and sometimes some people want to wonder, does he really think? Some people want to wonder, does he not have a problem? Sometimes some people want to wonder, does he have amnesia, or is just living in denial? That's the way some people look at some of us. They think that you are living in denial. They think that you don't face reality. But it's that you have chosen your reality. I have found out that reality is not what is happening. Reality is what I choose. I can choose my reality. And long time ago, I decided that this is my reality. I decided that if the word of God says it, that's my reality. I decided that if the word of God makes it known, I will stand by it. I may not see it yet, but if I stay with the word will become flesh. If I'm speaking to you this morning, I want to say a big amen. So, we can glory in tribulations. And let me tell you the truth. There's tribulation in this earth. When Jesus was going to leave, he didn't leave and didn't without preparing us. In John 16:33, he says, in this world there will be tribulations. That's what he told us. Weather forecast. It's going to rain. There's going to be snow. I'm not saying there will be snow before again, because some people say, it's Pastor Professor. I'm not prophesying snow. But Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. Not in what is going on. Not in the news, not in the stock market. If your peace is not in Jesus, you really don't have peace. Because he is the Prince of Peace. He's the author and the finisher of peace. He's the beginning and ending of peace. Outside of him, there is no peace. So when you have received him, let that be your peace. Not what is going on. He says, in this world, you will have tribulation. And you need to understand what tribulation these people that he was speaking to physically then, what they went through. So that when you see some little challenge, oh, I had a flat before coming to church. That is not the tribulation these guys had. These guys had tribulations of if they spoke in Jesus' name. You know now, you and I, we all say, in Jesus' name. And then you say, amen. If they spoke in Jesus' name, they will beat them. You remember Acts chapter 12? They had killed James and they took Peter again. And the Bible said they put him in four quaternions of soldiers. They bound his leg. He had handcuffs. He had leg cuff. Maybe even had neck cuff or some. But you know, they just put him in prison. Why? Because Jesus had told them they will have tribulation. In fact, when you see the tribulation these people went through, whatever is our tribulation, you will now believe what Paul was saying. He says, our light affliction, they are small deals. The thing that happened to you and I, they are little things. In fact, they are so little that when you understand the glory that is ahead, you understand that this is a small deal. And the light affliction is a raw material for the glory that is ahead. Verse 3 says, and not only that, but we glory in tribulation. There is a knowledge, there is a perspective that can make men glory in tribulation when they have access and they relate properly with the living hope. He said, knowing that tribulation produces patience. You know, many people don't know that there can be profit from pain. Many people don't know that pain can be something that can give you profit. If you remember at NICOS, one of the ways, I think Reverend George was once speaking, and he was talking about the fact that sometimes the way that you hear God or you know the will of God is sometimes through pain. You understand? So there is profit in pain. There can be, pain can come to you, but there are some things you can learn when pain comes. And so if you are listening to me this morning, I know that I will pray for people. I will speak into people's body this morning and pain will be gone. But I want you to understand that from this scripture this morning, the Bible says we can glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation can produce what? Perseverance or patience. It can produce patience. There are some perspectives you will never know except you go through some things. There are some things that, there are some postures that I can maintain now because I have gone through it. So when somebody is doing, you can understand because you're a man of like passion. You are someone who has gone through the same thing. The Bible says, and we glory in tribulation, knowing tribulation produces perseverance. It says perseverance, character. And character, hope. So why is tribulation a good thing? It's what triggers a process that we also leave us back to hope. And which kind of hope is this? It's not the kind of fantasy hope that some people talk about. Verse 5 of that scripture, very good verse. It says, now hope does not disappoint. Now hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. I want to read that same scripture in the TPT translation, that verse 5. I like how the TPT puts it. The Bible says there, it says, and this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, meaning that any other hope that is not like this hope or that is not from this hope, that does not derives its influence from this hope, is a disappointing fantasy. That means, if you don't let the hope you have to succeed or to do well, even in your career, does not proceed out of your union with Christ, the Bible says it's a fantasy, it's a disappointing fantasy. Sometimes some people have put their hope in, this is the plan, my retirement plan. If that retirement plan does not emanate from the fact that you have a relationship with the living Jesus, it's a disappointing fantasy. And To disappoint does not even mean that it will not work out physically here on earth. But it has no eternal value. That's what it means. It means that everything ends here. It means that everything without hope is just temporal. Because let me tell you the truth. Time is way smaller than this thing we call eternity. And you were made for eternity. You were made to be eternal. God has an eternal perspective where you are concerned. And if your hope does not anchor on the living hope, that hope is a fantasy. It's like a mirage. You think you are seeing it, but you are not really seeing it. You think it's real, but it's not really real. Because sometimes many people think that this natural world is more real. But I want to tell you the truth. There's a world that is more real than this natural world. And what makes you to stand in a good space in that world is when you are linked to this hope. Now let's go back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because this 1 Corinthians 15, in that verse 19, tells us that if we're in this world, and if all our hope is hope that is just in this world alone, he said that people, when they see us, they should just be pitying us. If your hope is only time-bound, if your hope is only here alone, he says you are most miserable. It is miserable for your life to just be reduced to car. For your life to just be reduced to a career. For your life to even be reduced to parenting. Like, as good as that may sound. There is something way bigger than all of this. It is if that hope is beyond this life. And let me tell you the truth. The hope we have in Jesus. The hope that Jesus gives to us. Is an eternal hope. Is a hope that transcends this life. In verse 1 of that 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible says, the gospel, the good news, the relationship with the good news starts from the preaching of the good news. Sometimes some people will ask questions, why do you do events like Lycos so that the good news will be preached? Why do you come to church so that the good news will be preached? Because the good news needs to be preached. It needs to be preached in the way I am doing it now. But it also needs to be preached by you. You need to be a man and a woman that knows how to always put the good news on your lips and preach it to yourself and to other people. The good news needs to be preached. And if you have heard the good news before, you should still keep hearing it. Because you see, the truth of the matter is this. There is more bad news around that you need to always update yourself. The good news is being preached. And so you need to be positioned again and again to hear the good news. Oh, thank God for 1 week of NICOs. But let me tell you the truth. The fact that you had the good news of last week is not enough. In fact, there are some of the things you had last week, you should go and hear it again. Why? The good news has to be preached. There is something about the preaching of the good news. There is something about positioning yourself for the preaching of the good news. What that does to you is that you will partake with that good news. The partaking of the good news starts from the proclamation, the declaration, the allowing for that good news to come forth, to be spoken out, to be proclaimed, to be released. And so every now and then, put yourself in a place where the good news is being preached to you. Because the route to that hope that we're talking about is when you start interacting properly with the good news. And it starts like this, the preaching of the good news. That's why you need a lot of time to sit with the good news. Oh, that's why sometimes 1 week you tell yourself, I'm going to take a phone fast. What do I want to do in that phone fast? I'm going to allow the good news to be preached to me. I will listen to what I've heard before. I will listen to the Bible. I will listen into word of God. There is something it does to you. It changes your atmosphere. Do you know why many of us are moody? We have not learned to condition our environment. Our environment has more bad news than good news. You listen to the news, you have alerts coming here, and what you have heard has crippled you. What you have heard has put you under pressure. Because faith comes by hearing, and other things also come by hearing. People think it's only faith that comes by hearing. Even that fear came by hearing. Even that anxiety came by. There are many things that people have use the excuse of their personality for that came by hearing. Some of us, the reason why you can't do that project is because you heard. You heard that it was not possible. You heard that you cannot do it. You heard that there is this limitation. You heard that somebody of your skin color does not do that. And so because you heard, without even knowing it, you have believed what you heard. There is something about hearing. Who has believed our report? To whom has the hand of the Lord been revealed? There is a believing the report to make the hand of the Lord be revealed. But for the report to be believed, the report has to be received, has to be preached. And when it is preached, that is when it is believed. When it is believed, the hand of the Lord, or the hand of the one that is sponsoring the report, that person's hand will be released. If the devil is the one sponsoring the report, if you believe the report, the hand of the devil will be released. But if it's God sponsoring the report, if you believe the report, the hand of the Lord will be released. I believe God this morning that in the name of Jesus, concerning this last day of March and into the month of April, the hand of the Lord is revealed over somebody in the name of Jesus. I stand where it is preached. I stay where the word of God is preached. Oh, is there not too much of this word of God thing? Does it do get too much? No, it doesn't. There's so much, so many bad news around. You need to fortify yourself. Let it be preached. Let the word of God be preached. Come to church every now and every time you have opportunity. Come, let the word of God be preached. You fortify yourself for the days to come. Because let me tell you the truth. It is out of the abundance that your mouth truly can speak. Anything you don't speak out of the abundance, you don't believe. There's a breach in the spirit. It's almost as if you are lying to yourself. Your head will be fighting. But there is a dimension where there is a lot of loading that your cloud will bring down rain. Do you know that rain is a function of what goes up that comes down? Anytime you want rain in any area, make sure you are sending something of that type up so that rain will come down. So arrange yourself. Stay where the word of God is going to be preached to you. Run away where it is not the word of God that is preached to you. Don't stay with the facts that are contrary to the word. Stay with the word that is contrary to the fact. That is the way you reverse things. If you don't like what you are seeing, don't stay with what you are seeing. Look away from what you are seeing and stay with the word of God to be able to let the word of God affect the facts of life. The word of God has to be preached. That's our hope. That's this hope has a relationship with the word of God being preached. And when the word of God is being preached, the next level is that you receive it. It is one thing to be preached. It is another thing to receive it. So many things were said last week. It's not everything that you have received. You have to receive it. You have to receive it. The Bible speaking in John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, he came unto his own. He says his own did not believe him. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become. It is not the people that they preached to. It is the people that received it. You see, because you see, the challenge is that there are people in the category of preached to, but they didn't receive it. They didn't let that word settle. They didn't receive it. They looked at it. Oh, we had this mighty event. I saw so and so. You know, one of the things that baffled me beyond words is that people wanted, they waited for a long time. And the reason they were waiting to see one of the men of God that came. And you know why they were waiting for? To take a picture. I said to myself, why will I come for a meeting? The meeting finished late and I will now wait. The only thing I'm waiting for is to take a picture so that I can post on social media. What? Why am I going to waste my life like that? No. That's not how you receive it. You don't receive it by some physical, earthly thing. No, you receive it in your heart, because the place where the word has to be planted is in your heart. Yes, sir. You receive it. I receive it in my heart. I make my heart receptive. I don't argue with it. I don't question it. I don't say, it's 1 week now. The man of God said, it has not happened. No, I don't question it. I receive it and I let it stay there. I let it germinate. I let it enter into the soil of my heart. Sometimes To receive it means you will let it to be preached to you again so that it will enter even more. And when it enters a little bit, you rest about it, then come back again so that it will enter a little more. Because when you receive it, you become it. To as many as received. Not to as many that as the word was preached to. It was the people that received it. They were the people that had the power to become. The reason why sometimes people don't become what were preached is they didn't receive it. They didn't receive it. They did not receive it. And that's why this morning, I am telling you, the resurrection power still works. I'm telling you, we have a living hope. And that's what I'm preaching to you this morning. But I want you to receive it. I want you to receive it that even now, the hand of God can still touch you. Even now, the resurrection power can still work. Even now, God can still do what he has promised. Receive it. Don't question it. Don't say, well, if it will happen, why didn't it happen since? I don't know why it didn't happen since, but it can still happen. I don't have a problem if it still happens anyway. Oh, Jesus, you should have come since. But, well, I didn't come, but now I am here. Some people, they like to make the case against what is happening, or just be in a very argumentative situation where they are just making all kinds of arguments. Why? But sometimes you may not be able to answer the word why. I just want the what. Sometimes I may not be able to have all the explanation, but that's okay. If I don't have all the explanation, let me have the result. Let me have the experience. I don't want to live my life as an explanation. I want to live my life as an experience. I want to be able to handle it. I want to be able to apprehend it. And sometimes, if you want to be able to apprehend it, you must leave the realms of reasoning, realms of analyzing to paralysis, realms of thinking, well, you know, maybe it's not like that. No, leave that realm. Just receive it as a child. You see, the kingdom of God is very simple, that it's only the people that make it complicated that choke on it. It's simple. Just like a child. If I tell one of my children now that I'm going to buy you a car, they won't even ask me that, daddy, what's your bank balance? They won't. In fact, some of them have been telling me to buy a particular car. Sometimes when they say it, there's something that want to react to me that I want to speak like, you know, somebody that, one man, I just heard this line, so I'm going to use it, that his father came from Nigeria. If you understand, you understand, you know. So I want to say some things, but I'll just remember that it's okay. Let them believe. Let them believe. With their believers, let them believe. And why not, if not, you know, from their mouth to the ears of God, you know. But a child has this innocence. He has this simple, not complicated faith. If God says it, or if daddy says it, so is it. If the word of God says it, so is it. I receive it with simplicity. I receive it. So this hope starts by the gospel being preached. It stands by the gospel being received. And let me add this, because Paul said that in that verse 1 too. The gospel will be preached. The gospel will be received. But that gospel will be challenged. So you have to stand. You have to stand on what was preached. You have to stand on what was received. You have to say no. You have to stand. Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to this, our life in God, everything you believe about God will be challenged. Oh yeah. You say Jesus is alive. There are sometimes some things will tell you Jesus is still dead. There are situations that will tell you that Jesus is dead. So what do? You stand. You stand on that. You don't change your ground. Many people revise their take after standing for a little bit and they say, well, maybe it's not working. No, stand on it. Stay with it. Stand on it. Don't give in to the devil. You see, many times people don't know that what the miracle or the things that they are looking to God for is like a process. It's like there are steps. And sometimes when they are seeing things not happening, the thing is on the 9th step before the 10th step, and it's at the 10th step that they will see the manifestation. Sometimes the fact that there is nothing in the physical does not mean there is nothing going on. Sometimes many things may be going on. You may not see it, but it's going on. There are many processes in life, just from agriculture alone. Many, many, many times when you put a seed in the ground, you don't see the result of what is going on, you know. And if you are impatient and you quickly bring it out to say, I want to see what is happening, you can pull out the seed and you see that the seed is still looking like what you put there. But the truth is, the seed is not the same. As long as the seed is in the ground and you can leave it in the ground and you can stay and wait, that seed is going to germinate. Child of God, hear you this morning. If the word has been preached, if you have received the word, just stand on it. If the word has been preached, if you have received it, just stand on it. When you stand on it, you will see it. When you stand on it, it will manifest. When you stand on it, it will become. And that's what's going to happen to somebody just shortly in the name of Jesus. Verse 2 says something that can help that whole process of verse 1 to happen. Verse 2 says something. He says, by which you were also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Some translation says verse 2 of that. I think your screen is frozen again. Some translation says, keep it in memory. When it comes to the word being preached, when it comes to the word being received, when it comes to standing on the word, you need to have a fresh, a renewal, a constant infiltration of that word back again. You need to keep it abreast. You need to keep it very close to you. You need to make sure you immerse yourself in it. The power in the word of God really saturates you when you keep it fresh. When you keep it fresh. When you keep it fresh. Let the altar always have fire of the word of God. Many of us pray. We ask God things, and that's a good thing. That's having a prayer altar is a good thing. But the reason why many prayer altars are not working well is there's no fresh wood. There's no fresh fire. What gives wood, what gives fuel to the fire or to the altar of prayer? It's not the intensity. It's not how loud you shout. It's the infusing it with the fresh word. Fresh word. Keeping the word fresh. Not just that it was preached several years ago, is that I still listened to it recently. It's that I still kept it there. And you can keep the word fresh by some ways that I want to share with you real quick. Number one, you can keep it fresh by seeing it. Keep the word of God in places where you can see it. Some of us see too many other things than the word of God. Keep it all over. You know that is the principle of advertisement. There are many things that you have bought that you didn't want to buy, but because they kept it everywhere. You know, sometimes I've asked myself, why is it that Coca-Cola is going to put an advert on 990? Nobody's going to pull over to go and buy Coke on 990. But they know that if they keep it on 990, by the time you open your phone and you are watching Instagram or whatever you are doing, and you see Coke, and another place you see, what happens is that because you are seeing it, you will soon take it. So they keep it in front of you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how the word of God too works. You keep it in front of you. That is the principle that God was telling Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It says, this book of the Lord, it says, shall not be depart out of your mouth. It says you will keep it, meditating on it day and night. In fact, you know, that whole process that he was describing to him, he now broke it down. He later broke it down when he was talking to Moses, even earlier than this, that this is how you are going to do it. You are going to make bracelet of the word. You are going to put it on their neck. You are going to put it on their hand. The whole idea is keep it everywhere so that you will see it everywhere. Before bad news come, you have seen good news. So you are fortified, immunized with good news, so that when bad news come, the immunity, the antidote, or whatever antigen and whatever thing they call it in medicine, that you are built by the reason of keeping it all around you, will be able to fight. Yeah. How do some of us live our lives? We live our lives by keeping these things so close to us that there are sometimes even some evil will come. It is maybe 2 weeks later that we know, oh, that one came. We didn't see it because there is something that you are seeing again and again that fortifies you. So how do I keep the word of God fresh? I keep seeing it. I keep seeing it. In Isaiah chapter 34 and 16, Isaiah 34 verse 16, the Bible says, seek ye out of the book of the law and find something there. And there is a dimension of what you found that will bring its mate. He says, none shall lack his mate. He says, seek from the book of the law. He says, none of this will fail, and none of it will lack its mate. So when you see it, the more you see it, the more you keep it fresh. How do you keep it fresh? You keep it fresh. Same that Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It's not just seeing it, it is also saying it. You keep it fresh by saying it. Even the whole process of preaching, receiving, and standing, all these things that I'm saying will make it happen. You keep it fresh. By seeing it, you keep it fresh by saying it. Put the word of God in your mouth. Say the word of God. Some people will tell you, well, is everything you have to scripturalize? Yes. It's everything I have to scripturalize. Because every other perspective, they put it into everything. Have you noticed that if you watch shows, if you watch things, you will see that they sell more things on those channels and shows, much more than the things that they told you they were going to sell. Whatever the belief system of that organization is, whatever the belief system of that content creator is, you will see that belief system even in their content. Even if it is not what you thought you were going to buy. Why? Everybody sees life from a particular lens. Everybody. We are not as objective as we think we are. So if you are not as objective as you think you are, subject yourself, be subjective and subject yourself to the scripture. I say the word of God. Oh, you always say the word. Yes. Should I say the word of the devil? I should say the word of God. Why is it that you always say, you are sick, you are not saved by stripes, you are healed. Why are you not facing reality? Reality, how many people did reality do well? But this is my own reality. The reality you are talking about, it didn't do a lot of people well. I have chosen this reality. And I will see it, and then I will say it. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this book of the law, it will not depart out of your mouth. You keep on saying it. You keep on saying it. Sometimes you don't see anything that looks like it, but you say it. You don't see anything in fact, sometimes what has happened is contrary to what you have been saying. But you keep saying it. You keep saying it. I just lost something. I just got a setback. But I keep saying it. Because let me tell you, in every setback, there is an opportunity for a comeback. But it is where you align yourself. Because if you don't align yourself, well, a setback can even be worse than what first happened. Because let me tell you the truth. The devil is this. He's a thief. The Bible says he has come to steal. He has come to kill. He has come to destroy. So when you see him stealing, that's not the only thing he can do. He can still kill. When you steal him killing, he can destroy. Destruction is even harder and bigger than killing. Because what destruction means is that when we come to that place, we'll not even know that somebody had passed this place. Complete annihilation. That's what he wants to do. So when you see that, you introduce life. Because Jesus says, I've come to give life. You introduce life. And you don't stop with one life. You keep introducing. He said, I have come to give you life so that you will have life. And have it abundantly. So what do you do, my friends? You keep this thing fresh. You keep the word of God fresh by seeing it, by saying it. And this is the part sometimes people miss, by doing it. By doing it. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, be therefore, do not be hearers alone. It says, deceiving yourself. Do not be hearers alone. The purpose of preaching is action. The purpose of preaching is action. The purpose of knowledge should be action. You know, they will say, knowledge is power. It's not true like that. It is knowledge or applied knowledge that is power. If you know something and you don't position yourself by doing what you know of that thing, do you think you will get power out of it? If that was enough, many people that know things will not die by the things they know. That's why a medical doctor can see die by the same medicine that is protecting people from. He can die. And this will not be hereditary. It will just be carelessness. So it is not lack of knowledge. It is applying the knowledge that has killed him. How do you keep it fresh? You do it. You do it. You heard so many things at NICOS. You wrote a lot of notes. Excuse me. What are we going to do about it? Are you going to wait to NICOS 2025? Resurrection will not work if you don't practicalize it. Resurrection will just be an event if you don't do what it says. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says, the secret things belong unto God. He said, But the things that are revealed belong to you and your children. If you do, so that we may do all the word of this law. The reason for revelation is action. If your revelation does not lead into action, you are eventually setting yourself off for frustration. So the reason for revelation is action. So I'll close like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. Remember, we are talking about the living hope. And we said, this living hope derives from the word of God. That this word of God will be preached to us. It will not be your job to receive the word. It will be your job to internalize it. And then you will stand by it. And I gave you some practical ways that you can make this happen. By seeing it, by saying it, but more importantly, by doing it. Find your application points. What do I need to do differently? Many things were said. You know, go back, go and listen to them again. And then ask yourself, what am I going to do differently? And in verse 19 of that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says, if in this life we have hope alone, even if that hope was in Christ, he says, we are of all men to be most pitied. This hope is eternal. This hope translates this life. Our hope should not be in today alone, but should be in the beyond of today. Our focus and perspective have to be heavenward, and that has to be on every day. You need to be asking yourself, just like we heard in several ways, is it on earth as it is in heaven today? This is my action. Is it like as it is in heaven? The way I'm talking, is it as it is in heaven? Because it is your daily living with the perspective of this is not all, now is not all, that changes everything. The hope Jesus gave you and I was not just to make you do good in corporate America, and there's nothing wrong with that. It was that after this thing called life, this present life is ended, you and I will still be able to stand before him and he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into the joy of your Lord. When we see resurrection like this, or when we remember resurrection, it should remind us that there is another resurrection coming. Because scripture says, Jesus became the first fruit, or he became a new order of resurrection that will begin to happen after his own order. So that means rapture is a form of resurrection. That means when somebody is absent from the body and is now with the Lord, is another resurrection. And let me tell you the truth, it's not everybody that dies that will be resurrected. There are people that died and will remain dead. Because if they didn't die in the Lord, if they didn't put their hope in him, if they didn't live out their hope in him here on earth, there's no guarantee they are not going to be able to live with him. I want you to speak to God this morning. You and I have a living hope. First question is this: do I have a living hope? Or I'm just a church member? I attend service, I came for NICOS, but do I have a living hope? You can answer that question this morning. It's not a trick question. It's a yes or no question. How do I have a living hope? I receive the living hope into me because Jesus himself is that living hope. And this resurrection morning, he will like to welcome many people into the kingdom. I want you to bow your heads and speak to God. You don't have this living hope, you can ask him in. You can say, Jesus, come into my life. Or you once had the living hope and you abandoned the hope, and you started going for other hopes, you can still receive him this morning again. I say, Jesus, I walked away from you, but I want to walk with you again. I want to experience the living hope in a fresh manner to the glory of your name, in the name of Jesus. And somebody may just be receiving help and saying, Lord, I know about the preached gospel, but I've not really received it. Help me to receive more and more. Somebody says, I have received it. My challenge is that I don't stand in it. Help me to stand in it. Go ahead, talk to him this morning. Someone else may be saying this morning, you say, well, all of that you've said is good, but what about the seeing, the saying, and the doing part? That place I need help with. He's also here to help you. Go ahead. Don't be quiet this morning. Make sure you find your own connection point. Everything we said today applies to everybody. There is something for you in what we have said this morning. And if you take your own part, you will be actualizing and making the living hope functional in your life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.